This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another special guest episode on the Authentic Persuasion Show. My name again is Jason Cutter. So glad that you're here. So excited for you to be a part of this conversation. I got Mr. Jeff Arduino on the podcast. He's from Spectrum Retirement Communities. We have a lot to talk about. This is going to be an absolute blast. I cannot wait. And depending on when you're listening to this, Jeff and I are also going to be on stage together at an event in Washington, D.C. in October. That's going to be just a blast as well. But Jeff is the National Director of Sales at Spectrum Retirement Communities. Like I mentioned, he leads over 40 sales professionals in over 44 communities in 9 states, generating hundreds of millions of annual revenue. And he has an interesting leadership challenge where his teams are on the phones, taking calls, making calls, and then also doing in-person sales in senior living type communities. And he's dealing with sales cycles that average about 365 days and may require 20 or more touches and conversations. So imagine that relative to what you think is hard in your sales process or with your sales team. I doubt it's going to compare to what Jeff has to deal with, no matter what. Jeff, welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show.
Thank you, Jason. Great to be here.
It's funny because I was thinking about your challenge, right? What you're facing, and thinking about, you know, what others might want to compare that to. Pure in-person doesn't compare. Pure phone doesn't compare. Enterprise, even if it's a 12-month sales cycle, but it's all over phone and Zoom calls, doesn't compare on so many levels. And then I think about you with different locations with this hybrid sales process and just what you might be up against. And tackling that, right? Like that's a lot.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like it's not the same kind of exchange you'd have just in person or over the phone or text. It's, to your point, multiple touches through those digital means, phone conversations, and then all of that kind of goes out the window when someone actually shows up on your doorstep at one of our senior living communities. So you've had first impressions digitally, then by phone, and now, you know, they're pulling up. You've got curb appeal of real estate. How do the hedges look, right? Do we have dead plants in the front yard? Then they're coming in through the front doors, and do they have smiling faces greeting them there? So, yeah, and I think where, you know, there might be some things that are like an impulse buy when you're thinking about retail or even with a car, you go in looking for one thing, come out with something else. For us, we're talking about, you know, people's families, their loved ones, their spouses in some cases, or even themselves. And there's a lot of emotion that goes into that. So it's a 365 days in terms of that sales cycle. That's average for us. Sometimes it may take 60. Sometimes we just move somebody in. I think it was about 11 years they'd been sitting in our pipeline. You know, they came to us, yeah, not ready yet. And that was over a decade ago. And eventually, yeah, we wore them down. They showed up and they said, you know what? That impression I had of somebody a decade ago, that stuck with me. We remember you guys. And now that we're ready, it's time for us to make that move. So we can see some really protracted sales cycles like that are still rewarding. We probably turned over, you know, 4 or 5 folks in between, but what stuck with them is still there, and yeah, they're moving in. So that's kind of our world. And to your point about the different locations, yeah, 9 different states with real estate. It's location, location, location. And if you think that Cincinnati is like Austin, Texas, is like Eugene, Oregon, or Denver, or Chicago, yeah, that's what we're up against every day.
Yeah, and one part you mentioned, because I think this is an important topic for sales leaders to understand, which is you are dealing with longer sales cycles. Of course, it might take 60 days. It might take 11 years. The 11 years is an extreme. Right. 60 days is probably not as common. It can happen when somebody's really ready, but it's not super common. But in this kind of life choice, this kind of disrupting somebody's whole life, right, where they're moving out of their home, maybe they've been in for a long time, or they're living somewhere, now they're going to go pick a new place. Most people, that's not a quick decision. Plus, there's lots of stakeholders, which I'm sure we'll talk about as well. But over a 12-month sales cycle, going through probably a couple of different sales reps as well, think about the managing of that pipeline, right, and the consistency you want. I know one of the biggest things you said, and this is what really attracted me to wanting to talk to you and have you on the podcast and the stuff that we're working on together, is what you told me just before we hit record and remind me of is that you're tech first, you're tech focused, right? A lot of these senior living communities that I've seen, literally someone calls in and interested in maybe, you know, moving in there, checking it out. Then there's a paper lead sheet that's filled out, and then that goes on a desk somewhere. And then that $10 an hour person gives it to a $15 an hour person who isn't going to get to it, and the company's paying for marketing. And each lead is, you know, there's a significant cost per lead, and then it's just all just holes in the bucket versus what you've decided to do, which is tech first and focus on that. Start with, because there's a lot of people listening to this and I meet all the time who they're not tech first. They want to do it the way it's always been done. What was that like when you said, no, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make this tech first. We're going to bring in technology. We're going to give this everything we can to fill in the holes in the bucket, and then we can be amazing from there. What was that like to get everyone on board, and then what's it been like to implement that?
Yeah, I think getting our stakeholders internally at Spectrum on board was pretty straightforward. There was some resistance to it in terms of, well, you know, print's what matters. Print advertising, we need to go there. This is an older demographic. They still read the newspaper. And I think when we finally got our ownership and like key stakeholders to understand is, when was the last time you guys got the paper? You guys are our exact target market for adult children, or even potentially some of them now for our residents themselves. And I think that, you know, that kind of 55 plus, 65 plus demographic, it's the fastest growing one online. It's the fastest growing one on social. So about three and a half years ago in 2019, we went through a large organizational rebrand. And when we were doing that, we kind of thought about, you know, what is that kind of archetype that we want to look at? You know, there's a lot of different ways. There's the thinker and there's the leader. We wanted to be the rebel. We wanted to be the Harley Davidson, the Virgin Airlines of senior living. What we'd seen is that this space was extremely conservative in its approach, to your point, the way we've always done it for the last 30 years. You know, assisted living was really founded and started as an industry in the 1980s, and nothing had really advanced in about 30 years. And to your point, I came up even in the mid-2000s coming off of coming out of real estate post the decline in 08, that we were still using paper sheets. I had green ones and white ones and pink ones, and had to walk through, okay, question 1A, and then I can't ask you question 2 until I get through all the parts of question 1. And it was very on the rails and in paper. And if I lost that sheet of paper, to your point, there goes everything I knew about that individual. It gets stuck in a drawer somewhere, and I may or may not remember them. So for us, I brought some of that from my space. You know, my mentor, my SVP, William Swearingen, brought some of that from his background as well. But for us, starting from just the initial impression online, the digital experience, we know that this is where everyone goes to research everything at this stage. We've got a much more informed clientele and customer base than we did 10, 20 years ago, even really than we did 5 years ago. They're doing so much shopping online, looking at reviews, going to your social media, spending time on the website, that before they ever reach out, whether that's to grab gated content behind a brochure wall, or they're actually requesting a tour or picking up the phone and calling, they know a lot more about us today than they did several years ago. And so for our folks, then receiving those, whether it's via, you know, email and responding to a form or picking up the phone, for them to go ahead and regurgitate the same stuff they just read online, that the kind of product and feature dumping, that was probably our biggest struggle in moving this forward, is like, hey, remember, they already know X, Y, and Z about us, right? They've discovered this on their own. Your job is now to connect with them. And I think that's what's been missing. And I still see it, you know, secret shopping, our competition. There's still a lot out there in this space that is very guarded, very secretive about, you know, the secret sauce of pricing. And it's one of the few things in the world that's not transparent. You can't go online and go, oh, it costs X, Y, and Z, just like it would if we're buying a car or anything that you'd buy on Amazon or anywhere else. So when trying to get pricing, all they want to tell you is, here's the 12 things that are included, versus, hey, who are you? What are you doing here? Why are you interested? Who are you looking for? And so for us, focusing that kind of digital experience and making it a personal connection, huge shift in terms of using text and email, using video, to try to stand out, to where if we're not going to see anybody for the first five or six touches or not coming in, what's it like to actually let them know, hey, here's a face with a name, let's take you around the community, show you what it is so that we can have that human element? Because I think that's where the magic happens, is where good tech meets, you know, human and to your point, authentic connection, to use the name from the podcast, that we've got to connect people versus just, ones and zeros in the air.
With that technology and that intersection with the staff, mm-hmm. right, and the team, my experience with a lot of people on the front lines in senior care facilities is that they're not rock star salespeople, right? They're not highly paid. They're not high commission earners, right? They're not what you might think of in other verticals where there's a lot of sales. They're professional, like you just kind of let them loose and they know what to do, right? I've talked to enough senior care places. I've been to places. I've seen it. From a customer's perspective, like with my grandparents, how do you marry that with them? You've got the tech, you've got all these different parts, and you have this frontline staff, right? The one who answers the phone, and then maybe the one who does the sales, where you want them to do these, take this action, right? Treat somebody different, treat them like a person, get to know them versus just throw, you know, features and benefits at them. How have you handled that, both from a tech standpoint and then also a training, development, recruiting, like all those other parts that, you know, go with the tech.
Sure. I think that frontline concierge, the person at the front desk, to your point, they're not the lowest man on the totem pole, but it's an entry-level gig for a lot of folks, or it's a twilight career for some folks as well. But when you've got a great concierge, a person at the front desk, you can feel the entire heartbeat within the community when someone walks in those doors, and it's someone that has energy, it's someone that is engaging, and really, you know, you're looking for someone that can spend all day just talking to people, for better or worse, listening to complaints, because seniors have whatever it is, whether it's my hip or, you know, how was lunch today, all those kind of things, and it's being able to kind of redirect. One of the challenges that we see is because the folks that find themselves in that role want to help, that's why they're there, right? We hear it a lot, oh, you know, I'm really here for the seniors. Well, we all are. That's why we sign up for this gig. We're here to take care of people, and that kind of, you know, compassion and caring attitude is a requisite part of it, but it's all about how we kind of channel and direct that. A lot of times folks tend to sympathize versus empathize, and that can be a really important kind of distinction, is like, yeah, you know, it's okay to acknowledge what they're going through personally. Here's how we help them work through that. Here's the things we can do, the things that we can't. We can connect you with a service. We can, you know, call in the caregiver. We can call your family, or let's redirect. You're having a bad day. Why don't you pop upstairs and, you know, go participate in an activity that's going on. It's about kind of triaging. And so I think in terms of what we look for from that piece from recruiting is just flexibility. Someone that can roll with the punches for 8 hours a day, because you never know what's coming in. It might be a vendor, it might be a family, a resident, it might be the EMT showing up that day, and now you're having to direct for an emergency situation. To go to that tech piece on the front line, one of the things we've been fortunate with on our call tracking software through a platform called Invoca, we've got little what they call a whisper message. So it'll put it in someone's ear. They pick up the phone and it goes, hey, this is an inbound sales call. So they know at that moment it's all hands on deck versus every other call that's coming in. And so that way they can be teed up to respond to that and know they're going to have to, you know, transfer live to somebody. For certain calls, we've also bypassed that individual at the front desk and just gone straight to our sales teams. Because we are kind of a multi-site, multi-location setup versus being like a centralized call center, getting someone live, we've only got, you know, one or two salespeople at every property. And so being able to get them to a live person is critical versus hitting, you know, a giant call center somewhere. So being able to have someone use an IVR, an interactive voice recording, you know, press one for this, press two for that, press one for sales, going straight to a salesperson, they're teed up, they know that inbound call is live business. And to your point before, we spend so much on marketing. We know that cost per lead and cost per acquisition, the minute we fumble that or it lands in voicemail, we've lost that opportunity more than likely forever with that first impression. Mm-hmm. So for our sales folks from there to actually kind of connect, we've got a name that pops up. We know that if they've been to our website, we also have information about them that's come through platforms like Invoca, so maybe we have some demographic information, and they kind of know where to start. But the first thing is just making that connection on the phone. Hey, how are you doing? Why are you calling, I think, is the biggest one, to really just break down with folks and find out from there, okay, where does this call go versus, you know, we call it three hots and a cot in the industry. Yeah, we do meals, and yeah, we've got space, and well, it's 500 square feet for the apartment, and you know, the nuts and bolts, that stuff can come later. They can find that on the website. They can find that in your printed collateral and everything. But what they need in that moment is someone to hear them, acknowledge them and what they're going through, because it is a sensitive situation. We're not, you know, booking travel for somebody. It's not a hotel stay, you know, or a vacation. It is a life-changing event, to your point, where we're talking about moving someone from their home, sometimes of 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and so being able to connect with them or their loved one on a human level and just say, tell us what's going on and acknowledge it, build rapport and trust very quickly. Just got a really nice voicemail from a family that's moving into a property here in Colorado, a brand new sales director that we just brought on board, but she'd been in that frontline concierge role for about 3 years while she was going to college. And so when she was done, she thought she wanted to be in administration, and her executive director saw something in her and said, you know, I think you kind of have that personality. You've been great about connecting with families at the desk. You've been great about, you know, conflict resolution. We think you could have some of those tough conversations. What do you think about coming in on sales? And, you know, she's been there about 60 days or so and has already taken several deposits, moving families in, and got this great voicemail over the weekend that just said, you know, we came in and we met her and immediately trusted her. And it's that kind of thing that you can't teach some of that. I think some of that is just part of who we are. We can teach tips and tricks and best practices, but at the end of the day, if you can't look at the person across from you and establish a rapport, I don't know that's something that we can tweak like a muscle.
I don't think you can tweak that. I have a friend who's in the industry of cruise lines, running HR for some huge cruise lines, and he actually wrote a white paper about it, because what he realizes, there's this thing he calls the hospitality gene, and you either have it or you don't. And if you've ever been on a cruise, a restaurant, anywhere where there's somebody who is should be providing hospitality or service, you can instantly feel it when somebody has it and it's natural and they like doing it, or they don't have it, it's not natural, they don't like doing it, but they're in that job. And you literally walk away going, you really should find another career, right? When somebody's in that mode versus when you're like, oh my gosh, you are exactly where you should be in life and this is amazing. And I think that's important, because that's what you're talking about as well, is having that kind of hospitality, that trust, that nurturing empathy, but also, you know, still got to move people forward. I know that's one of the issues in the space that you're in is, and a presentation I did at Smash last year was, empathy is not enough, right? There's a lot of people, like you said, they empathize instead of sympathize, but then they kind of get stuck and they're not moving people forward. How do you leverage that technology? And I really love that, you know, it's not about features and benefits, the three hots and the cot out of the gate, right? It's about building the relationship, asking the questions, understanding who they are, you know, building rapport and building trust. But then what do you do from a management perspective? Again, you have a very complex process. How do you manage that to make sure that the salespeople involved are moving people forward, especially, here's the crazy curveball, some of it's over the phone and some of it's in person?
The hospitality gene, I love that, by the way, because we've all met those without it that are in that space, and you're exactly right. It's like, you know what, you should probably do literally anything other than what you're doing. And yeah, I think there's a lot of overlap between what we do and what those folks do. It's often the comparison people make between senior living and a cruise ship. There's things that are going on. You go home, you shut your cabin door when you don't want to deal with everything. So I really do appreciate that. As far as, you know, the tech piece, to your point, we've got these different spheres, we've got different points of touch. Part of it for us on the call side, you know, we're utilizing things through that Invoca tracking, including artificial intelligence, to listen and score calls. Like, did the folks at the front desk, did they give the standard greeting? Did they say, you know, thank you very much, good day, thanks for calling, say the name of the community, introduce themselves, ask for the caller by name, all that kind of stuff. We can run through an AI, have it spit it out and tell us, hey, this looked like a really good, you know, sales call from a customer service standpoint. Same thing on the back end with our sales folks. Are they, you know, asking the questions that we're looking for them to ask? And it's not just a lot of those traditional sales kind of approaches will only ask open-ended questions. There's a lot of other things that sometimes we just have to go, it's a binary, yes or no. Can you afford this? Yes or no. You know, do you think this is a fit? Yes or no. So we've got some things, again, programmed into the AI to listen, create little signals, and give us clues as to whether or not we think these calls were effective. And then we can go back and coach and manage through that. I think for our sales folks, we used to send them phone calls and say, okay, well, here's the three things that went well. Here's two things you need to work on. And now it's just, here's the call. Take a listen. Let us know what you think. And I think people tend to self-diagnose better. It helps them be more critical. And they're going to be way harder on themselves than we could ever be. They're going to think about things that we wouldn't have. Oh, I wish I hadn't said this. Oh, I could have tightened this up over there. And I think letting them be the driver of that, it really helps them to take ownership and then actually go and implement. So letting them self-coach. And then when you get down to that kind of tech piece of the follow-up, so we've had that first call, maybe we didn't schedule a tour, they've not come in yet. They're like, okay, just send me something via email. That next touch point could be 2 days later, a week later, they may not pick up the next several times that we call. So how do we get them re-engaged? We've got text, we have email, we have video, you know, and we utilize some automated stuff in there as well. And I think there's a balance between, and I know you've done a show on this recently, how much automation is too much automation, because we're all used to that now in whatever process we're in, right? I bought a new pair of boots the other day, and now I'm getting served the same ads forever as like retargeting. And I'm like, I want to be able to say, I bought the shoes, guys. I get it. Like, but now everything I look at pops up. And I think for folks in this space where it's like, I'm already going through this hard thing. I'm dealing with my loved one. And now I'm seeing that same retargeted ad pop up every time. It kind of opens the wound and keeps it fresh. Alternatively, if it's working right and working well, we're staying in front of them. They're like, oh, yeah, I remember that. I know I've got to do something about that. I should call. So we've got little ticklers that go out via text. We've got them that go out via email. And then obviously you have that kind of organic approach that's our frontline salespeople, actual human interaction, picking up the phone and knowing, hey, when we spoke the other day, you mentioned, you know, these things about your mom. You know, we have this program that's coming up. It's always about trying to figure out how to take what we've learned and then match to what's going on. And is there something relevant we can bring you to in the community? You know, you mentioned that she loves art. Well, we've got, you know, a watercolor class that's coming up. We're taking our residents out to the museum. Whatever it is, just trying to make that connection to where there's a human aspect of it versus like, hey, you know, I still have a couple apartments available. Are you ready to make that decision yet? That has to be part of it, to your point about we need folks that can close and move business forward. But you don't get to that ask without making that connection initially. And I think what you kind of noted about empathy is not enough. There's a lot of people that care. And I think in this business in particular, call it kind of the social work mentality. You know, we're here and, oh, gee, isn't that sad that you've got this going on? It is, but also how do we make it joyful? How do we find the joy in things like dementia and finding that there's still new experiences to be had, that when you're aging, it's not just the end of it. I think people think of what we do as that's God's waiting room, right? It's the place you're going to go. You're going to live out your last days, but that's not the way that we look at it. And I think that's part of that Rebel brand. You know, we're wanting folks to age fearlessly, to continue to live colorfully throughout life. And we're, you know, writing pages in a book versus just closing up shop and saying, well, that's it. You're here now. You know, better days are behind you. We're trying to create experiences that perpetuate and create things that live on for them, and experiences you wouldn't have staying at home. I think that's the reason folks would move. Care's requisite. Everyone expects it. But for us, it's about creating an experience. And it does start right out of the gate with the sales piece of, hey, we're going to be a little bit different, and that's okay.
One of the things when I hear you talk about all that, it sounds amazing, and not to dispute it or debate it, but it sounds amazing, right? It makes sense. Kind of going back to where we started in the beginning with your long sales cycles, how do you ensure that's really the sales experience, customer service experience someone gets from their digital experience to you to some kind of, you know, email, SMS, maybe phone calls, into the in-person, into the visits, over multiple salespeople? Like, how do you make sure that's consistent from a branding experience standpoint? Not just, like, this sounds good, this is how we want to treat people, we want to hire the right people, but how do you tie all that together so that ultimately, when someone does move into one of your facilities, what they have been told, what they've been expecting, what somebody set them up for, is the experience they're about to have, and it's all in line.
Yeah, I think from the sales side, focusing in on areas we can control and monitor. So the CRM, going in there, ensuring that the notes are accurate, that we're saying the things we want to say, but in a way that is organic. And I think that's what's been hard for us over the last 4 or 5 years, is really trying to, how do you make something that is, to your point, scalable, that is repeatable, but it also needs to feel authentic and organic? And that can be a challenge, because we don't want it to be, here's the templated email that we send out, here's, again, the 5 points, but did you connect with somebody? And that's going to look different for each individual. And so for us, it does take a lot of, you know, auditing, coaching. It's working with our executive directors, who are the sales managers of our properties, working with our regionals to listen to calls, read emails, shadow people on tours, conduct secret shops, go in there and see, is this the experience that people are actually having, versus what's making it into the system. It means surveys. We do surveys post-tour for folks. We do surveys post-move-in, soliciting reviews, trying to get real-time feedback about what's going on. Even some of that stuff from a sales perspective has helped us shift things entirely. We've had some older properties down in the Phoenix Valley where we had a group of folks come in over the course of about 2 months and say, we love your community. Everything about it was vivacious and fun, but it looks dated. I wouldn't move in here at all. And suddenly our ownership goes, we've got to invest, and we're doing upgrades and that kind of thing. So we're hearing people's feedback in real time and then acting on it. And then as far as making sure that what we're conveying in the sales process lives up to the operations, I think that's the secret sauce of every organization, right, is when sales and servicing meet. And so for us, that is, you know, onboarding, that is setting a consistent brand with folks coming in that you may have worked for other operators, and it may have gone like this elsewhere, but this is the way that we do things, and this is kind of what we're expecting, is it needs to feel a little bit different. And I think the way you kind of articulated before with that hospitality gene, we're all on stage in the service business, and we're all working with people, and I think we need folks that can take what just happened and put that behind them, go to the next apartment, you know, go to the next inquiry coming in, and still shine it on in a way that, you know, when someone passes away, that you go and you still take care of the people that are there in front of you every day, even if you have that sad side of it. If you have, you know, a negative outcome with a family, or they're upset because of things either within or without our control, that we respond appropriately. And I think that's all that families and customers are really looking for, is things are going to happen, right? We're all human, but it's all about how we adapt and react to it. You know, we respond in the appropriate way, they're going to keep coming back. And I think that's part of what makes our experience unique, is that it's not a one-time purchase. We go to work every day where our customers live. And so we have ample opportunities to succeed and fail. And we do it on a very kind of public sphere. And when it goes great, they praise us for it. And when it goes rough, you get stuck in the elevator going to show a model apartment to a client, and there's Mrs. Jones over there. She's like, you know, lunch yesterday, not so hot. And it's all about how you respond in that moment to her. And that's what a new family wants to see, right, is how did you address that? Because that's going to be my loved one day if I choose to move them here. And I think that's where we have a unique advantage, is we've got the best advocates when things go right, and that's why we continue to kind of push for that is, look, don't ask us, ask them. They're the ones that live here, and you have an opportunity. So I think that from that full experience, staying in touch with our current residents after the fact, continuing to interview, survey, seek, you know, feedback and reviews, that's what helps us tighten up that experience and make sure that we're actually delivering on what we've committed.
I'm so glad you brought up that last part, because that was something I was going to mention, which, you know, in your environment, it actually works out well when things are going well, which is sales and service, right? The selling and then the doing is all in one building, literally in one building, and the customers are there. And that would be the worst nightmare of a lot of people in sales who aren't doing the right thing, don't set the right expectation. And if you're watching or listening to this, you know I'm talking to you, because this is what I'm trying to help you change and stop doing what you do and what always is done. But imagine if you sell somebody and then for the next, I don't know, 8 years, you get to look at them every day and as they walk past your desk every day or in an elevator during a demo, during a sales cycle that could last a year. How would you sell? What would that look like? What expectations would you set? And what would the ramifications be of things that you oversold or underexplained, yeah, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about. I cannot imagine what most of the world of sales would do if that was the environment. Instead of selling, transferring it off to service or something else in the back end, and then hoping nobody finds their phone number again, so they can just move on with their commission check.
Yeah, it creates a whole different level of accountability that I think folks, to your point, aren't used to. You sold it, you move on, and you can move to the next one. And while that's still our experience, they've got to live with that, you know, each and every day. And I think for us, having seen some folks that have come from different spaces, when they show up and do that, they get burnt very quickly and get burnt out very quickly. Because so one thing we have to do is just under promise and over deliver. And for us, that really comes down to just transparency. And I think right now, in particular, the last 2 years or so, what we're seeing from kind of post-pandemic, which obviously hit our business much harder than others. We've seen a lot of caregiver burnout. We're seeing nurses leave nursing practice altogether. Folks are walking away from our industry, and so everyone has the same kind of staffing challenges. And so we're getting lots of new inquiries from folks living in competitor communities coming in and going, well, you know, they miss my meds, and they're always have all these call-offs, and staffing's a challenge. And it's like, I don't know that we can solve that. We're all in the same ecosystem, and I don't want our sales teams being out there saying, oh, yeah, well, you're never going to have call-offs here, and you're always going to get everything done and on time. Because to your point, then the minute it happens, which inevitably it will, because that's life, suddenly it's like, yeah, no, you sold us a bill of goods, versus if we're coaching them, hey, you know what, these things are going to happen, but it's all about how we respond to them. And I promise you that, you know, this is the level of communication you're going to get when things do go south. And that's all we can really do is, you know, do our best and acknowledge from the outset that it's not a perfect process. People aren't perfect. And we've all seen how much the world has changed in the last 2.5 years from a service standpoint. And I think just owning that from the outset sets that level of accountability and transparency that I think most folks are responding to.
I love it. I think that's a perfect place to start or stop on part one. I want to ask you about the secret shopping. I recently did a process where I mystery shopped, secret shopped a bunch of companies, and I want to talk more about that. I want to talk about tech platform burnout, a couple of things I want to talk in part two. So everyone tuning in right now, make sure to check out part two. For people that are watching or listening to this, I know, Jeff, if they want to reach out to you or find out more, the links will be in the show notes, but they can go to spectrumretirement.com, spectrumretirement.com. They want to find out more about your companies, your facilities, the work that you do, and then also you're on LinkedIn. Jeff Arduino, A-R-D-U-I-N-O. People can find you on there. Again, Jeff, thanks for being on the Authentic Persuasion Show, sharing all this amazing work that you're doing. I appreciate that, and I'm excited for us to chat more in part two.
Thanks, Jason.
And for everyone tuning in, I appreciate you as well. You know, part of why I do this and have people like Jeff on here is to help you shift the way you do sales. Think about yourself. If you had to sell and then be next to your customer for the next X number of months or years, what would you do different? How would you sell? Would you build trust and empathy and rapport? And hopefully not do the stuff that is the classic old school sales. And then part of my mission is to help you do all of that and close more deals and make more money in a way that's obviously authentic and supports you and your customers and your company. So until next time, thank you for helping fill the world with authentic persuaders.